You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm David Lazarus, in for Lizzie O'Leary. For our first look at crashes, let's go big. People crash, so do companies and stock markets, and occasionally entire countries. We live in an increasingly interconnected world, which means that when one country crashes financially, there's a genuine risk that we could end up with a regional or even a worldwide pileup. We wanted to find out how likely a crash of epic proportions might be, so we turned to the Wizard of Whiteboard himself, Paddy Hirsch. Paddy's a senior editor and the resident explainer here at Marketplace. He joins us now to discuss the global economy. So is it really all that fragile?
It can be that fragile, yes. I mean, we've seen it. We saw it in 2008 when the financial crisis hit here in the United States and rippled all the way across the world. And we had a massive global recession that came after that. And, you know, these recessions, these global crashes happen actually pretty frequently. You know, we had that global financial crisis in 2008. We had the 1997 Asian financial contagion, which like ripped Asia apart and rippled right across the global economy. Before that, we had the Second World War. That was pretty bad. There was the Great Depression before that. There was the First World War. So in 100 years, you're talking about five big financial issues. That's once every 20 years. That's pretty frequent.
But one would have thought that we would have learned from these experiences and that somehow all the central banks around the world would learn to circle their wagons very quickly anytime we saw the danger signs.
Well, I mean, we did circle the wagons pretty quickly after 2008. That was a really big problem when we had that meltdown. And in actual fact, they appear to have cleared things up pretty quickly. And look at the state of the U.S. economy now, doing reasonably well. The global economy not doing quite so well, but still sputtering along. But we didn't see a widespread global collapse that turned into something like a war, for example, which can happen.
So since we contained the Great Recession, more or less, should I be encouraged? Should I feel like the threat of global economic disaster has been minimized?
I wouldn't say it's been minimized, but I think it's been mitigated. Yes, Greece looks pretty risky right now, and people are very, very worried about what happens to the Eurozone. You know, because if the Eurozone goes down and we lose an enormous trading partner in the Euro, then that's going to be a problem for the US. Trade in the US is responsible for about 15% of GDP. Trade with the Eurozone is about 15% of that. Okay, so it's not a huge amount, but it would be a little bit bumpy for us. But it's not like we are so focused on Europe, or any country, in fact, is so focused on Europe, that a collapse in Europe economically would have this sort of tremendous ripple effect across the global economy. The global economy is actually pretty diversified, even though it is pretty well connected. The problem is actually more political. If you had big political issues in Europe, like, say, the collapse of Russia, for example, which is really suffering right now. Imagine what happens if you have bread lines and people rioting in the streets there. Then you've got all sorts of issues. You know, maybe that turns into a war, not directly because of an economic problem with neighbors, but because of politics.
So let's talk about the interconnectedness of the economy. Yeah, it's a small world after all, but at the same time, it seems like we've ratcheted up the risk by putting everybody into the same basket.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's both risk and reward there, right? Because everybody's so interconnected, it means that there is a risk that if one country goes down, then it brings a whole bunch of other countries with it. And certainly that's what you can see in Europe. People are looking at Greece and they're saying, wow, if Greece falls, is that going to, you know, pull Portugal and Spain and France down with it? So how can we kind of distance ourselves? How can we sort of ring fence Greece so it doesn't actually affect us that badly? And that's both the downside and the upside, because of that interconnectedness, it gives us a much better early warning system. You know, you think back to the First World War, more than 100 years ago now, nobody really had any idea what was going on in other countries, right? You didn't have that sort of communication. It took days for messages to get from A to B. Now messages pass in microseconds. So you have much better warning about what is going to happen in another economy, and you're able to react much more effectively as a result of that.
All right. So what do I, as you know, the proverbial little guy, I've got my 401k out there, I got my pension fund out there, I'm worried about harsh winds blowing through the economy. What do I look for to see if we are in danger of anything as catastrophic as we've been talking about?
Well, the lesson of the financial crisis of 2008 is don't touch your 401k. Yes, you want to be aware of what's going on in the world around you, but do not start yanking your money out of your personal financial accounts because you see wobblies going on in Greece or Russia or whatever. Do not panic. The fact is that we've seen that the US economy is exceptionally stable. And even though we had our own huge problems in 2008, it still managed to weather that crisis extremely well. Yes, we might see a small correction, maybe 3%, 4%, 5%. But, you know, over 10 years, or 30 years, which is probably the amount of time that you're going to be sitting on that money for, you're going to see the stock market rise, you're going to see your assets increase in value.
So when you look around you right now, what do you think is the likelihood that we're actually facing anything like a global economic crash?
I don't think it's that likely that we're going to experience a global economic crash, but we are going to see some fluctuation, right? There's some waves. We're already seeing some waves. I mean, Greece is a bit of a puddle, right? It's not an enormous economy, but it's already creating some waves in Europe. Russia, on the other hand, is a much bigger deal. Okay, it may not be an enormous trading partner, but it is politically extremely important as to what's going on in Europe. And as waves get created in Russia, you're going to see the knock-on effect in Europe. Just the gas lines in Ukraine is a very good example of that. And, you know, we saw fluctuation in the European economy because of what happened in Ukraine. So I think that those are the kind of warning signs you can expect to see. If you're hearing about conflicts, like armed conflict on the ground, if you're hearing about riots in the streets, those are two really big signs. We should be a little bit worried. And certainly that's what makes investors pull their money out.
But do the relative strengths of, say, the U.S. economy or the Chinese economy offset the instability of some of these other countries we're talking about?
Certainly, yes. I mean, the U.S. is, and not just the U.S., but also economies within Europe itself. So the strength of the German economy, the comparative strength of the British economy, the U.S. economy, yes, they provide a great ballast. You know, if the U.S. is doing well and the Brits are doing relatively well, that's a good counterbalance to problems going on in the Eurozone. The big question that everybody has right now is what happens if Russia starts to fail? Then you've got some real questions about what happens in Europe and what the knock-on effect to the U.S. would be.
Paddy Hirsch, always a pleasure.
David, thank you for having me.